Hilchas Tumas Eichlin, chapter 15. This chapter contains 8 halachas. In this chapter, we continue the discussion of water when it is in its source in the ground, or when it is removed from its source and put into some utensil or container. When this has to be done by desire and intent of the person who is doing it, and when, in order to receive tumah or to impart tumah to something else, or to render some food susceptible to tumah, all these contacts must be made by desire of the person who owns the food that is becoming tumah. Halacha aleph, mayim shebekelim, water that's contained in some utensil, in some container, mistamin, they receive tumah, bein lerotzein, bein shaloi lerotzein. Regardless of whether the thing that was tumah touched the water with the desire and intent of the owner of the water, or if it touched it without his desire and intent. Umetamin oichlim vekelim, and this water, which is now tamei, can make food tamei, and it can also make kelim tamei, other utensils, because we learned in Hilchis Sha'arov is hatuma that by rabbinical decree, liquids that are tumah can impart their tumah to kelim. Bein shenofel aleihem berotzein, bein she loy nofel aleihem berotzein. And the water that is contained in some container imparts its tumah to other things, to foods or to kelim, regardless of whether the water touches them by intent or it touches them without the intent of the owner. Avomayim shabed karkois, but water, however, which is contained in the ground, kigoin mei boides, such as water that is in wells, these are round, deep cisterns, shichin are long, deep cisterns, like ditches, umaitis, or water that is in a cave, that is in a naturally covered enclosure, but nevertheless contained in the ground, umei gvoyim, or water that's in a shallow ditch in the ground, she'ein bohem arboim sa'ah, even if the water does not contain 40 sa'ah, if the water does contain 40 sa'ah, it often constitutes a mikveh. It has separate laws which will be learned in Hilchas Mikvois, but here we're speaking about water naturally contained in the ground that does not have the measurement of 40 sa'ah. Ein mistamin elo lerotzein. Such water can only receive tumah if the tumah contacted the water by desire and design of the person who owns the water. The ein mitamin elo berotzein. And once tamei, they can only impart their tumah to food or to other liquids or to kelim if they contacted by desire. Ketzat, for an example of these laws, mayim shabekarka, water that's contained in the ground, shein bohem arboim sa'ah, which do not have the measurement of 40 sa'ah, bein shehoyu she'uvim, bein she'enam she'uvim, regardless of how the water got there. If the water was she'uvim, the water was drawn from some other source and poured into this hole in the ground, or she'enam she'uvim, or the water is naturally contained there, it was not poured in there by some human agency, nevertheless, since it's contained in some natural depression or hole in the ground, shenofa l'techem hameis, even if a dead body fell into such water, or shaholach bohem hatomei, or someone who was tomei walked through the water and he contacted it, harei elu tahorim, the water remains tahor because the contact of the tumah with the water was not by his desire. Even where the person deliberately walked through the water, he did not desire to enter the water and contact the water. He desired to get to the other side of it, and he would have been just as happy if the water had not been in his way. Aval im shosa mehem odam tamei, however, if a person who is tamei bent down and drank out of the water, now he has contacted the water by his desire, and of course he desires, not just that he desires to drink, he must contact the water in order to drink. He cannot drink if there's no water there for him to touch. Oisha milei bohem bekli tamei, or he filled up a utensil, a vessel that was tamei with this water, so he intended deliberately to contact the water with it, and he needed to do so. Or liquids that are tamei fell into the water contained in the ground, and it was done with the intent of the owner, harei elu tameim. Now the water becomes tamei, v'afal pi shehein bakarka, even though they are not in a utensil, even though the water is in the ground. Shosa mehem hatoir acha shenitmu bakarka. Now if someone who is tor, a person who is tor, drank from this water after it became tamei, even though it's in the ground, or he filled up a utensil, a vessel that was tahor, was filled up with this water, nizma hashoyser, and the person who drank became tameh, because it's impossible, he desires to drink it, and it's impossible to do so without touching the water, v'nizma hakeli, and the vessel that he filled up, since it's impossible to fill it up without it's touching the water, he desired to do so, the vessel that he filled up becomes tameh, shalei berosen shasa oimila, because it was by his desire and intent that he drank or filled up a container. Nachalateicha kikashal truma, if there fell into this water in the ground that was tameh, a loaf of bread that was truma, harehu tor kishahoya, the loaf of bread remains tahor, because here he did not desire to have the truma contact the loaf. He doesn't want a loaf of bread to get wet. Shein mistamin ela leratzin, because here this should not be mistamin, but it should be mitamin, because water contained in the ground can only impart its tumah if it contacts the recipient by desire. Lefichach, therefore, im heidiach yodoi, if he washed his hand, v'hoitzi hakike, if at the same time when he sticks his hand in to remove the loaf of tumah, he also intends to wash off some dirt from his hand, nizma hakikar b'mayim shabiyadav, then the loaf of bread becomes tameh because of the water that is upon his hand, shaharehim beratzeh, because they have now been removed from the water by desire. And you will recall that the Rambam has stated on numerous occasions in previous chapters that only if the water is removed by desire can it impart tumah. So since it was removed from the ground by desire and it contacted the loaf of bread, and he contacted the water by desire since he wanted to wash his hands, and it's impossible to do so without removing some water, therefore everything has been done by desire and intent, and the tumah is imparted to the truma. Halacha beis, meguvayim, water that's contained in a shallow ditch in the ground, v'chayetzi behem, mimayim shebakarkois, or other similar water that's contained in the ground, kigoyim meboiris, shichin umayris, such as water in a well, or a deep ditch, a deep long ditch, umayris, or in a cave, umaytamtsis, or rainwater that runs off rapidly from a height, shapasku, if they have now stopped running from their source, umikvoyis, or water that's contained in a mikveh, shein behem arboim sa'ah, which do not have the measurement of 40 sa'ah, all of these cases, shenitma'u, if the water became tameh, v'yardu lahem kshamim, and thereafter rain fell into the collection of water that was tameh, v'rabu mekshamim aleihem, and the amount of rain that fell in was more than the amount of water that was originally there. Afal pi shalei shatfu, even though it didn't overflow and flow away from there, but as long as there was more rainwater than original water that was tamei, harei elu tahorim, the water has become tahor. Lefichach, for this reason, kol hamayim shebekarkoyis, any water that's contained in the ground, kigoy megvoyim v'chayotze behem, such as water in ditches, or the other examples which we gave, b'shas hagshamim, during the rainy season, hakil b'ches kastar, if we do not know the nature of this water, we can always assume that the water is tahor, because it's the rainy season, and we assume that rain fell in, and the rain is the majority here. Halacha gimel, pasku hagshamim. However, if the rainy season has stopped, the rains have ended, then hakroidim la'ir, after the end of the rainy season, any of these ditches or other such collections of water in the ground, if they're near the city, or near to the public highway, tameim, they become tameh as soon as the rainy season stops. If we don't know their history, we assume them to be tameh. Shehein b'chetka sheshosa mehem tameh, because we can assume, since they're close to the city or the highway, that someone who was tameh drank from them, b'shamilu mehem b'chelem tameim, or that they filled up some container that was tameh from this water. But such collections of water in the ground which are far away from where people travel, tahorim, they are tahor even after the rainy season, until the season has become so dry that many people are already in the habit of going by these places. Hilchu, however, when people begin to go through these places, hatil becheskas tuma, then we assume that everything is tame, all the water in the ground is tame, shahulchim b'shayores, because people, even who travel at great distances, memalin v'shoysim mehem, they fill up containers with it that they drink from it. Bamed dvarim amurim, when does this rule apply that we assume it to be tame after the rainy season when people are already passing by? In a ditch that is positioned in such a way that it's easy to drink from it. However, a ditch which is positioned so that one cannot drink from it unless one goes to a great deal of trouble and difficulty to get in position to drink, then we can assume that it is tahor. They remain with the assumption of being Torah, unless he finds there at that place, he finds footprints of human beings, so he knows that people did in fact come down here to drink, or even if we don't see human footprints, but if we see footprints of a large animal, such as a horse, if such footprints are recognizable here, because we can assume, even though we don't see human footprints, if there's a large animal, a human being may have ridden on the animal and bent over and filled up some utensils. If, however, the only thing that he finds is the footprints of small animals, such as sheep or goats, then the water can be assumed to be tahor, even though we might think that a person, the owner of these sheep or goats, led them down here to drink and his footprints have become obscured. We don't have to worry about that, because it is possible, and indeed it does happen, that such animals go down by themselves to the water to drink. The assumption concerning mud or small ditches, crevices in the ground that are near the opening to the stores. The stores are on the side of the public street, and water is poured out into them, wastewater is poured there from both sides. The storekeepers pour out water from one side, and the passersby pour out water from the street side. If this is on a public street, if it's during the rainy season, so the chazok, as we said, the assumption is shehem tahorim, that the water is tahor, because we can always assume that there was more rain here than water that people poured in. Pasku hakshamim, however, if the rainy season has ended, harehem kemei shpichas, then they have the same rule as mei shpichas, as wastewater that was poured out, which we learned in chapter 2, that it is assumed to be tameh, b'shabishvokim. However, such crevices in the ground that are in the middle of the marketplace, then we have to determine how much water is being poured in here and what is the majority here. Because since it's in the middle of the public place, the assumption is that very much, we cannot simply go on the assumption that the rainwater is the majority, because very many people pass by from all sides, not just from two sides, and pour water in there. A ditch in which water fell in, or chalav, or milk, or dvash, or honey, holchem b'yach haharoiv. We have to go after what the majority is. Nofal atecha shemen, if oil fell in it, afal pi, then we cannot determine any majority, afal pi shahik pi ohu. Even if the water into which the oil fell was very cold and the oil congealed on top, oil does not mix with water at all. Hareza mistame umetame shalei berotze, and it receives tumah and imparts tumah even when the contact is not made by intention. Because the oil forms an emulsion, it forms very tiny droplets, and it's impossible ever to remove all of them. And so there's always a little bit of oil remain, of oily substance remaining. And we will learn in the next halacha, hey, shemen, ushar mashkin, chusmin, amayim, oil, or any other of the liquids other than water, harehim, bekaike, kemoshem, bekalim. The rule concerning intention when it's in the ground does not apply. Other liquids other than water, when they are in the ground, they have the same rule as if they were in a container, din echatu, the same law applies. The differentiation applies only to water. Halacha bav, mei tamtzis, water, of rainwater that runs rapidly down from a height, shalei pasku, if it is not stopped running from its source, it's continually running. Afa pishein behem arboim sa'ah, even if there's no 40 sa'ah here, they cannot constitute a mikveh possibly. Hoyel behem bekarka, nevertheless, since they're in the ground, v'harei hamayim nimshochim uboim lohem, and the water is continually flowing into them, einim mekablim tuma. They cannot receive tumah at all. And even though someone who was tamei drank from it, so he touched it intentionally, or he filled up a utensil that was tamei, he filled up from that water, or he deliberately poured in water that was tamei, it's considered tahor, because the water is constantly flowing. Someone who was eating tumah and his hands were Tomei, Kigoyin Devela, he was eating Truma, such as Kigoyin Devela Shalai Hushira, a clump of pressed figs that had not become wet previously and was not yet susceptible to Tuma. However, when it was in his mouth, it was contacted by the saliva. The saliva does not render it susceptible to tuma, since the saliva is there in its source. And since it's a secondary derivative of water, it has the rules of water. And if it's, when it's in its source there in the person's mouth, it does not render it susceptible to tuma. However, he, within the pressed figs, there was a little pebble there, which he noticed as he bit down into it. So he put his hand or his finger into his mouth to remove the pebble. In Hofach, if he moved the saliva around, the saliva is now not considered to be in its natural source. Nitmes ha-devela beriroi. And the figs become tomei because of the saliva there. Because even though his hands are a secondary tumah, and they and the hands do not, as we learned the rule, hands do not render truma unfit to be eaten. However, they do render liquids tumah, and the liquids can then render the truma to be unfit to be eaten. Shaharei nitma bayad, because the saliva became tumah when his hand touched it, mipnesha okroi, because he removed the saliva from its source. However, if he directly removed the pebble without moving the saliva around, tahoira, then the figs of truma remain tahor, shahamashke shebepiv, because the liquid in his mouth, koidim sheyafchedu, before he moves it around, or yemoitzitzenu, L'hoitziyai, or he sucks it to remove the liquid from its place, doyme l'mayim sh'lo nitlishu, it has the same rule as water that was not removed from the ground. Elohim adayim b'kaifa, water that's still in the ground, she'ein mistamin, and such water, such liquid cannot receive tuma, ve'ein mitamin, and they cannot impart tuma ela b'rotzi, except by design, k'moshe b'yanu, as we have stated previously in these halachas. And here, since it was v'zeh ein ritzonei elo litoil chatzroir, and here his only intention was to remove the pebble, and had he been very careful, he could have done that without contacting the saliva and without moving the saliva around. And therefore, it's not considered his intention to have imparted tuma. Hoya punyan l'teich piv, if he had a coin in his mouth, Uparshat Yodei Litloi, and he put his hand in to remove the coin from his mouth, Vahadvela Beteich Piv, and the pressed figs that were truma were in his mouth, Im Hinichoi Litzmoi, now it depends how the coin got in there. Im Hinichoi Litzmoi, if he put the coin in there because he was thirsty, coins that are made out of certain metal have a certain effect on the mouth, and they cause the saliva to gather very rapidly, more saliva than would normally gather there. If he was very thirsty and his mouth was very dry, he put the coin in his mouth in order to bring up saliva and moisten and wet his mouth. If he did it for that reason, then the saliva in the mouth is considered having been removed from its source by intent. The saliva has been removed and by intent. And therefore the figs become tomei because of the liquid in his mouth, which became tomei by his hands, which were tomei. And here it's not necessary that he move the saliva around as it was in the previous halacha, because since the saliva arrived in his mouth because of the coin that was deliberately put there for this purpose, therefore the saliva is automatically assumed to be removed by intent. A woman who was eating food that was truma, this food had not yet become wet and was not yet susceptible to tuma, the hoist of Gorefes as a tanner, and at the same time that she was eating the food, that she had the food in her mouth and she was eating it, she was sweeping out the ashes from the bottom of the oven, hatanur hatame, it was a clay or earthenware oven, and it was tame, and you will recall that earthenware utensils impart and receive tumah by their interior space without even contacting them. As soon as she put her hands into the interior of the oven, her hands become tame. Vehika hakoitz, and what occurred was that she was struck by a thorn that was in the wood that had burned, v'yotza mimena dam, and some blood came out from her finger or her hand, so she stuck her finger into her mouth and sucked on the blood, or she burned her finger, v'nosna etzba b'pia, and she put her finger into the mouth because of the pain, nidmeis hatruma shebepia, in this case the truma in her mouth becomes tomish, I read it, soina lahoitzi hamashka mipiho, ula okre bimtitzis haetzpa, because the whole purpose of putting the finger in the mouth when it's bleeding or when it's burned, the whole purpose is for the saliva to contact the finger. Or in the case, that's in the case of the burn, in the case of the finger that was bleeding, the whole purpose of putting the finger in the mouth was to suck out the blood, and so the blood becomes tummy from her finger and imparts its tumma to the truma. In either case, she has imparted the tumma here even without moving the saliva about in her mouth.